mix, what I like, what I like, what I like, what I like.
All right, what's up, world? Welcome to another edition of I Mix What I Like. imixwhatilike.org and at I Mix What I Like for all your relevant social media. Again, I'm Jared Ball, happy to be your host. And we're having a catching up, long time overdue, catching up with this brother who has been a friend and a comrade and a colleague for many years, and whose work has inspired not only the conference that I just attended and saw this incredible, at least this one incredible panel that I got to witness, but who has been instrumental in developing the approach that is engaged in that conference that is specifically African psychology. And I'm talking specifically of the African Psychology Student Association annual conference gathering at Bowie State University, convened and put together by our guests joining me now, Dr. Otis Williams, who is the chair of the Department of Counseling at Bowie State University. Dr. Williams, thanks again, man. Welcome to I Mix What I Like.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Ball. And thank you to your listeners for having me this morning.
There's obviously a lot I would want to get to. I want to start with the title of the conference and its history. We were just at the 5th annual national conference of the African Psychology Student Association. And I wanted to start simply with the African component of that. I wanted to explain what is meant by the term African. And why specifically following from that, is there a need for African psychology?
Great question. So African psychology, the first part of your question in terms of African, I think it's well documented through scholars and the research and so forth that a vast majority of our students in the psychology field or the counseling field or the mental health field in general, are not being trained from an African perspective. And so what we mean by African, we mean those individuals who are of African descent. And so we're not just talking about Africans in Americas, but in our African, in our African psychology, we have an international or global approach. So that is encompassing the entire African diaspora. And in the field of counseling, it's important for us to make sure that we are training African counselors in order to promote the psychological well-being of African people from an African reality.
So, you know, I just want to sort of have you elaborate just a little bit more on that, because there's some renewed discussion online and elsewhere about what it is to be African, and some, I don't know, maybe confusion or disagreement over what that means. Give us a little bit more about what it means both to be an African or how you arrive at that use of that term and descriptor. And then what does that mean in terms of African psychology? So when someone's or counseling, that is, even when someone is looking to engage from an African perspective or concerned with the conditions or the maltreatment of by the field of African descendants. Tell us a little bit more, if you could, about what that means or what that entails.
Okay. I would start by saying what it means to be African may mean different things to different people. So I can speak to what it means for me in terms of being African. And so first we start with understanding that we are an African people who originated from Africa. And so in counseling or in the profession of mental health, traditionally and historically, people of African descent have been approached or treated from a Western European perspective. So in terms of what is normal or what is abnormal for African people, has been defined traditionally in Eurocentric society from a European perspective. In terms of theories in counseling, theories in psychology, we typically employ a Western European perspective. And so what that has done to African people has changed or confused our consciousness and thinking that we are, in fact, a European people. And thus, we see a lot of, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but we see that many of our children are misdiagnosed, maltreated, special education, schizophrenia. There's a high rate of people of African ancestry being diagnosed with schizophrenia and other DSM or Western diagnoses that we find to be incompetent and inappropriate for working with people of African descent.
Do you find, this just occurred to me, actually, I don't know that I've ever even thought of it quite this way myself, but do you find in the work that you do, there are differences within the diaspora? In terms of experience and in terms of counseling, particular counseling needs? That is, do you find that, Africans from the diaspora outside of the United States come to the United States, that there's a particular or different, for lack of a better way of understanding or putting it, a brand of African psychology that they need as opposed to Black Americans or Africans in America? Or do you find a sort of consistent throughout the diaspora concern and need regarding the approach to counseling and psychological study?
Absolutely. I would say that throughout the diaspora, we find that this Western approach is global. And as a matter of fact, many of the indigenous approaches are typically practiced underground and oftentimes in conjunction with Western approaches. So sometimes you'll find throughout the diaspora that there is the go to seek Western. And then once they figure out that that doesn't work, then you'll see that many may go to or may seek an indigenous healer or an indigenous approach. And that's throughout.
So go ahead.
I was going to say a lot of times also funding plays a role in it as well. So many of the Africans who may come to the Americas, in many cases, those individuals have the financial means to come to America. And then so a Western approach would entail someone who's probably more financially stable.
That's interesting, actually. And that's something that I know comes up a lot, that a lot of times when the diaspora meets, there's the question of class that has to be addressed in terms of how that interaction goes. And a lot of times I think that gets left out. So a lot of people make, I think, mistaken assumptions regarding potential Pan-African ties or unity or common experience because of the class difference isn't necessarily understood. So I think that's an interesting point. It go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to also mention that it seems as though religious background plays an important role as well. I would say in my 20 plus years of teaching at the higher education level, that many of our continental African students are primarily from the West Coast, primarily Nigerian, and you'll see that many who are in this program or in our program are ones who are of Christian descent. Christian faith. So I think religion plays a major role in how people seek mental health services. So those who are primarily Christian tend to seek mental health from a Western perspective versus an indigenous, which tends to be of a traditional African religious approach.
Which goes back to the point you were making about the sort of, the international universality of Western dominance over the African experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm wondering also if I'm hearing you say you make reference to words like underground and funding and the imposition of Western cultural norms, all of which to me suggests that all of this is continuing to take place. That is, all of this attempt to study and implement African psychology is all taking place in a context of you know, various stages of unfreedom. So I'm wondering if, in fact, that is sort of the connection you were making in looking to title this fifth annual national conference from 1619 to 2019, The Psychology of Enslavement, Liberation, and Maroonage for Africans in the Americas. That is, to study, to put the study of all of this in the context of a history of flight and fight and being unfree. Please correct anything that I'm mistaking or fill in some gaps, or am I at least on the right track with that?
You are absolutely on the right track. Unfortunately, in the Americas, the traditionally the study of African people has taken place within an oppressive context. So African psychology is actually twofold. I don't like to think of African psychology as necessarily starting in the Americas. It's like saying Black history started in slavery. So there is an African psychology that dates back thousands of years. When we look at the African psychology in terms of from 1619 to 2019, unfortunately, we are studying an oppressive mind. So part of contemporary African psychology has been to study holistically African people and in the liberation of African people, which tends to have been the focus. So it's kind of a deconstruction, reconstruction paradigm.
I'm wondering to what extent your broad approach, that is, and I know that within what is called African psychology or African psychological counseling or African-centered counseling, that there are, you know, various approaches and interpretations even within that. But broadly speaking, I'm wondering if this African psychological approach to the study and counseling of African people addresses what I'm sure is worse than I'm even aware of, the community-wide sort of fear or skepticism with the even the idea of therapy, and to what extent that fear inhibits, you know, the necessary counseling that folks need. Does that question make sense? Am I being clear? Is that concern something that your approach or your understanding of counseling and psychology is meant specifically to address, or that does address?
It does in a way. The fear, I would say, typically is not addressed as necessarily a fear. I would say is typically addressed as a mistrust of the systematic Western way of counseling. Because Black people, African people have always sought counsel, but not in the way that we're being trained and taught to seek counseling, I would say, nowadays. So I don't think it's necessarily a fear, but it's a mistrust of course, because of the historical atrocities that have played out in terms of how Black people have been treated by the system. And so the profession of mental health is seen in the same light.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you go.
Is any of the skepticism from the African community that, the again, as a practitioner or the counseled, that therapy practiced or the study of psychology undertaken here would more prepare someone to survive and accept what's going on as opposed to engage it revolutionarily and with a desire to change the environment and the context in the first place?
Absolutely. It makes absolute sense. And I think that's what I was talking about in terms of the deconstruction. The deconstruction would be how, well, not really how, but for African psychology, there earlier on, there was more so a movement to deconstruct what was already put in place in terms of psychology with people of African descent, because that psychology was status quo. And I think the majority of the African population in America saw psychology as that, as a way of maintaining the status quo, surviving, I believe, as you said, and not necessarily thriving. And so African psychology, the approach is liberation. So with our students, it's important for them to first study and promote the psychological well-being of people of African descent. Then they must be able to develop certain constructs, certain ideas, certain approaches, theories, and so forth, practices, research, training, and that is consistent with the African people or African experience. And throughout that, we are addressing issues that are germane to the African diaspora. And of course, it's important that we collaborate with other organizations and people with the same goal and aim in mind.
All right, well, right on. You know, Dr. Williams, I was about to wrap up, but I was thinking, obviously, if there's any more you would want to add in terms of what you think we would need to know about the field or this conference in particular, please add that to this sort of closing remark I'm inviting here. But I was just thinking as you were talking, I mean, it feels like, you know, going back to my question about the skepticism that I know, you know, I've suffered personally, and I know other people, you know, feel much, you know, I'm not the only one that is, in terms of, you know, how we address ourselves to even the idea of therapy. But I was just listening to you thinking, you know, do you actually recommend, or would you recommend that all of the African diaspora engage in some sort of personal or collective psychological therapy, African psychological therapy? I mean, I feel like all of us need it to some extent, whether we, you know, are conscious of that need or not.
Right. And you know, Dr. Bo, so therapy, not really in the Western sense of therapy, in African psychology, there's probably a primary emphasis placed on prevention. In therapy, there's something that's infused within the culture and within the lifestyle. So in African psychology, we believe that people live their lives in a holistic, healthy way. And I think Western is more of they create the illness and then they intervene in order to make or profit from an illness that they create. So in terms of there's an emphasis on living your life in a healthy, preventative type of way. I myself, I wouldn't send my children to therapy unless I knew, and I always use my children as an example. I tell my students, I love you all, but I would not send my children to see any of them. and that's just from a perspective. You have to make sure that we are training people to be African-centered clinicians.
Well, again, and, Dr. Owens, no, please go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to make mention of the African College Student Association, which was actually established in 2010. And so we started this at Bowie State with that in mind, that we needed to train students beyond the traditional counseling or master's experience. And we started the conference 5 years ago in 2015. And so with bringing in scholars, not just psychologists, but bringing in people of various disciplines, areas of expertise, we've attempted to address African psychology from a holistic perspective.
No, well, right, yeah. On. And I've certainly appreciated those gatherings, and one of the reasons why I wanted to try to help extend the reach of the work, because I thought it was so fascinating, and continue to appreciate it. So Dr. Otis Williams, Bowie State University, Chair of Department of Counseling. Thank you so much again for joining us to talk a little bit more about what is now the annual National Conference Gathering of the African Psychology Student Association. We thank you very much for joining us here at I Mix What I Like.
Thank you, Dr. Bald. It's certainly been an honor and a pleasure speaking with you and your listeners this morning. I appreciate you, bro. Keep doing great work.
I mix what I like, what I like, what I like, what I like, what I like.